Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Visit Mount Mitchell, the podcast. This is Dr. John Stamey. I'm coming to you live from beautiful sunny Myrtle Beach. And the sun is out and the birds are singing and we're getting ready for a big old Labor Day here. I've got my co-host, Robert Storch. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a sunny, gorgeous day out.
Well, we're all lucky on that account. I'll tell you that. You got any big plans for Labor Day weekend?
No, just cleaning up, working. I'm doing labor.
Oh, okay. Then the day will come. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, today we have a really interesting guest. I got a chance to speak with him some this morning. He is the somewhat new editor of the Mitchell News Journal. Corey Spires is with us today. How are you doing this morning, Corey?
I'm good, John, and I hope you are too.
Yeah, doing well. We are glad to have you. It's exciting to talk to a guy that's at the middle of the pulse of the news in Mitchell County. And I would guess that you cover Mount Mitchell, Spruce Pine. What other towns do you cover in terms of your news?
Yeah, we do a lot of work with Bakersville, really anything Mitchell County. We try to get into Bakersville as much as we can, especially with that being the county seat. We try to spread ourselves out into Little Switzerland when possible. So, and occasionally we'll dip our toes into Yancey and Avery, not very often, but on occasion we'll include those folks as well. So we try to be as spread out as we can with our small staff. So we do the best we can.
Exactly. I'm familiar with small staff newspapers. I lived in Clemson for quite a while, and I was familiar with the Clemson Messenger. I wrote for about 5 years for the Myrtle Beach Herald, and you get extended during those times when you have the deadlines, but it's really kind of fun. And also the Clayton Tribune, which has been very kind to help promote the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So anyway, I know small town newspapers provide a wonderful function in the town and to the community and everything. So what I understand from our discussion is that you're somewhat new there at the News Journal as the editor, but you've been there before and you've been around North Carolina working as a journalist. Why don't you tell everybody, because I know people are always like to find out who is doing what in town. So who's the guy that's leading the charge on the news? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, sure. So I have deep roots in North Carolina. I was actually born in Richmond, Virginia, but my family moved me down here. I guess I was about 7 years old. So grew up in Charlotte, and I went to Appalachian State, got my journalism degree there, and I spent a lot of time kind of cutting my teeth at the student-run newspaper up there, which is called the Appalachian. So I was an editor there as well, sports and opinion. So I owe a lot to that organization, really helped me cut my teeth. And then from there, I actually started off working at the Hickory Daily Record, worked there for about a year. And again, great place to learn, great place to kind of get my journalism chops, as one would say. I worked there for about a year. Then I married my wife, who actually, she's from Mitchell County. So the two of us moved to Gastonia, and I was working out of Monroe, the paper called the Inquirer Journal down there. Worked there for about a year, and then to my wife's surprise, the reporter job opened up at the Mitchell News, Spruce Pine, and she was happy about the prospect of moving back home. And so we moved up here in summer of 2017, and I took the reporter job and worked with previous editor Brandon Roberts for about 3 years, and we accomplished what I think were some great things. We really helped transform the paper into a better community newspaper, and then I actually took a short hiatus about 3 or 4 months back, and I took a job in Charlotte, but it was short-lived, because when Brandon announced he was leaving, we conversated about the possibility of me taking over, and I applied for the job, went through a lengthy interview process, and at the end of the day, I ended up getting the job, so I'm back after what was a very short hiatus, and happy to be back, so it's good.
It's good to have you back.
That's great. Absolutely. And it's always fun getting back to something that sounds like home because your wife's family's there and she knows a lot of people. And you worked there quite a while, so you really had your, you know, you had your feet on the ground there in terms of who to know, who to talk to, and everything. Now, Robert, since you have had an opportunity to be reading the newspaper, how do you see that it has changed in the last couple of months? Now, this is not a tattletale on Corey. This is just, how do you see it's changed? Because now, listen, change can be a good thing. It really can.
Well, nothing, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So I think he's gotten it fairly easy to get his toes wet back in the market in Mitchell, because everything's pretty much been, you know, restricted, canceled, or, you know, hidden away. So I think come October, when the world starts, you know, we're having the Mountaineer Festival and he has to get out and cover the world, then we'll see, and elections, you know, we'll see all that experience come into play. But he's kept it, you know, again, we always told people when they bought a business, don't change anything for 90 days. And I think that's what he's done, is he's just stayed the course and fit into the editor's role nicely.
That's a smart piece of advice, Robert. I know that I won't be able to say anything about it until next week, but it looks like I am opening a new business. And the first thing that I have realized at my young age, and after having opened a number of businesses, many have been unsuccessful, some have been very successful. And I think you have to learn to start carefully. And it's okay to say, look, we're brand new. I used to think that you had to act like a major corporation right when you started something, and you don't. People respect you when you say, look, we're just starting. We're trying to get things going. So I think that's some great advice. Don't change anything for 90 days. And now, Robert, you mentioned something very important to the Mitchell County communities, and that is the elections. Corey, what elections are coming up that are really important to Mitchell County? Now, I'm not talking about national elections or regional, but I'm talking about the county and the cities. What are the key elections that are coming up?
Yeah, sure. So we've got three seats open on the Mitchell County Commission. We've got a school board election as well. So those are two gigantic decisions that Mitchell County citizens will have to make. Who they want representing their local interests at the commissioner's level, and who they want helping to shape the future for their students, and maybe if they don't have students, the students of Mitchell County, hopefully the future of Mitchell County. So those are going to be two gigantic races, and we'll do our part to help people know who those candidates are, but it's a very important local election.
Okay, now how many seats are on the council?
There are five with three open.
So the majority of the council is up for grabs.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to be interesting to see, I guess, the not so new members now, such as Jeff Harding, and he's done a great job. I guess he's not a super new member anymore, but anytime you get new commissioners in there, it's interesting to see how they'll fit in with the rest of the group and what that will look like, what the dynamic will look like. So it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully everybody gets out there and makes their voice known.
Exactly. I'm going to give you a small piece of advice to give some of those folks running. Don't do the following like we just saw in Myrtle Beach. There was a fellow running for city council, kept telling us how he would always be available and this and this and this. And as soon as he got elected, I'd like to talk to you about something. Well, I'm busy. And he's been busy ever since elected. And he is guaranteed not to be reelected.
Yeah, don't be too busy for the constituents is a typically good piece of advice.
I think you said a mouthful there. And Robert, you in your short life as well, you've probably seen some things like that too, haven't you?
Absolutely. But what you should really ask Corey is some inside dirt to what happened on the commissioner's front. Because I'm curious.
Okay, Corey.
Corey,
there's the question of the day for you.
That's the question, huh? Are you referring to the DSS debacle, Robert?
No, I'm talking about the one of the people dropping out of the race, supposedly.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So we had a Democratic candidate, the lone Democratic candidate, Howard Larson, actually just announced that he is this past weekend, actually, that he's suspending his quest for a seat. So that leaves three Republicans and him on the ballot, and there are three seats open. So now that he's on the ballot, as I understand it, he can't take himself off of the ballot. So if he is elected still, he would have to resign from the position. But that adds a new wrinkle to the equation, because he was really bringing a lot of unique ideas to the table. He was doing monthly town hall meetings where he would solicit input from the community. He had a very clear vision for kind of changes that he would want to make to the commissioner's board. So that was kind of a bombshell for a lot of people when he announced that this past weekend. So that changes things, and obviously we're right up against it. We have an election in 50, 60 some days, so that is that was big news.
Why did he do that, or do we have any idea?
So Howard sent me a statement on Monday. It was too late to make this week's paper, but it'll be in next week's. And he really, his big thing was that he explained to me that he wasn't thrilled with the way that his ideas were being received by the community, is how he put it. He said that being the lone Democratic candidate, his concern was that oftentimes the conversation of the changes he wanted to make, the ideas he had shifted instead to a discussion on why he's a Democrat. So that was what he told me. It sounds like he just wasn't comfortable with the way that the public was kind of perceiving what he was bringing to the table. So
now, maybe the listeners should know, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is what I've been told, is Mitchell County is the highest concentration of Republicans in North Carolina, something like that?
I've not heard that, but that wouldn't shock me.
Okay. Yeah. But I would have thought he would have gone to the people and let them speak.
Yeah. I think Howard was doing a lot of really good things. I think he had a very clear picture for his plan and for his platform. So a lot of people were disappointed to hear the news, but you know, we understand and we'll report it as such.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned that balance is very important. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican, but you have everybody in a county. We're talking about the county, you know, the county and the city here. You have everybody in the county, and everybody needs to be represented. That's called being fair. And I know that a long, long time ago, when we had elections every 4 years for president, or really every 2 years because House of Representatives, and it was important that we elected who we wanted, and then they worked together. Today, on the national scene, we know that we are now at a 0% of working together. It's the worst I've ever seen, and every one of them is to blame. Every single one of them is to blame. So, politicians, you all can dislike me. I mean, do you guys agree that working together and a balance to try to represent everybody is a good thing? I know that sounds like an elementary and dumb question, but I think it's a fundamental question in the way that our municipalities, our counties, states in the country are run. I'm going to ask Robert first, then I'm going to ask Corey. Robert, what do you think?
Oh, I get it. Well, I might put Corey on the spot here, but I believe our politicians and our media have gone the same way. There's no more this fair and balanced working together. And I tell people, when I was younger, I would read the newspaper, you know, everything that's fit to print, I'd read the paper and go, oh, that's true. Now, even when I read it, unless I see it for myself with my own two eyes, I go, oh, I wonder if that's true. Or I need to look that up. I wonder if that's possible. So I think it's just our society in general has decided to take sides and not play fair anymore.
Corey, your response? Hope you're not too on the spot here.
No, that's okay. No, I agree with Robert. I think that this is and even this past year or so has really thrust America and politics into some sort of weird sort of vortex. But I feel like right now everybody is so, especially with a presidential election coming up and everything that's going on, people are so hyper-charged and kind of entrenched in their party affiliation that sometimes we perhaps forget that at the core we should all be working together for the betterment of our country, our local governments, et cetera. And I feel like, you know, the perfect storm has kind of happened where we've had this pandemic, we've had the racial tension that we've had in this country, and we obviously have a big election coming up. So all of those things kind of combined have caused people to really dig into their side and I'm right, you're wrong, end of story type of mentality, and I think that's kind of trickled down from the leaders too. So we really need to, I feel like we need to get to a point where we're, as politicians, are working together, we're trying to make change for the better for our country and for our local governments through that cooperation. So yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
That's a great statement. Now I'm going to call a timeout and say, Robert, tell us about WonderFi. It's that time for your spot in this show. Tell us about WonderFi and the great things that you can do for folks in the community.
Well, I appreciate that. It's I want to thank Alan Cook because he's given an opportunity to the residents of Mitchell County to actually, with this COVID-19, get some marketing help. And we've been helping a number of businesses come back online and open online businesses. And it was just reported that online businesses have increased. It's been pushed ahead 5 years in their process. So the more companies are online doing business, opening online stores, and we've just been helping companies in Mitchell County get into the game. And that's key these days when you've been, you know, sidelined, and now's a chance to come back and do it. So, you know, WonderFi is helping small businesses get back into the game to survive.
That's very important. Survival through this period of the pandemic. And as we see right now, numbers are going down, and that's a good thing. Well, look, three cheers to WonderFi and what it does, and call Robert Storch. Robert, the number is?
561-542-2740.
All righty, 2740. That's a good number. So everybody remember that and call WonderFi if you have any marketing needs, help with e-commerce, to call Robert and say hello. Robert, you don't mind a social phone call, do you?
Oh, I love talking to people. I've already had two calls this morning. So we love talking to people and helping them out.
That's a great thing. Well, thank you very much for everything you do. Now, I've got a personal question, and it has to do with events, and it has to do with the reason that I came back to Spruce Pine after about a 20-year absence was the Space Expo, the Spruce Pine Alien Conference and Expo, the UFO conference. And I was very fortunate to be up there, to be a speaker, met a lot of folks, showed them my new book and everything. And I know that this year, because of COVID, it did not happen. Well, I run several conferences in the same vein. One conference that I run is, of course, the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. Last night, I got an email from Bays Mountain Park that said, we can't have the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference because of COVID. And it's really interesting. I already got two emails from fans of Bigfoot in Tennessee that said, well, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to run it online because people are attached to that conference after 4.5 years. So, and I think it does two things. It does allow for people to talk about research on some things that need to be researched. Number two, people enjoy a conference like a Bigfoot conference. And then we've got the Space Expo, and people like talking about UFOs. Apparently the government is liking to talk about UFOs. Now, the reason I asked that question, here's how it comes back to you, Corey. I know that you were a reporter up there, and you're familiar with the Space Expo. And how did people in general handle an expo like that and the topic? And I'll tell you how they handle the Georgia and Tennessee Bigfoot conferences and how they handle that topic and material. But I'd like to just hear your take on what people think about a paranormal event.
Yeah, it was interesting when it was in its kind of infancy stages, and I know James Henshaw was integral in getting that off the ground, and he spoke at a couple town council meetings and commissioners meetings and told people about it, and people's reactions, I think, largely at first were kind of, what, UFOs, aliens? That's interesting. It's kind of like the Bigfoot Festival, right, where it's one of those things where it's something unusual, it's something different. It's not a fall festival or a Easter festival. It's an alien festival, which is just something you don't really hear too much. So when we were kind of getting the word out there in partnership with James, people were kind of skeptical, I think, at first, and were wondering what it would look like and how it would do, and it was unique for the area, right? But when it happened, I mean, I think it was a huge hit. I mean, I remember, it seems like eons ago that we were able to have large-scale festivals and outdoor events with people congregating, but I remember that Lower Street was just packed, and there were great speakers, and there were fun events for the kids, and there was all kinds of stuff, and they had, the decoration contests where all of the downtown businesses were decorating their storefronts with space stuff, and it was just really cool. It was really cool to kind of see the community just kind of rally 100% behind something different like that. They rally behind the Mitchell High football team and scarecrow contest and stuff like that. But to see something so different and so unique was actually really cool. And, from what I heard, people loved the event. It was a great turnout, and too bad we couldn't have it this year. But hopefully it makes its triumphant return once COVID has passed.
Okay, well, I'll just share with you that for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, it went exactly the opposite way. I decided I was going to do it. And then I contacted Bays Mountain Park. I said, well, I'm going to do it. Could I do it there? He said, well, sure. My buddy Mark. And Mark Kilgore, he's been very helpful. He works for the city of Kingsport. And then it was a week, and he never got me a contract back. And, I'm big on I got to have a contract before I can say I'm running a festival somewhere. And I finally got a hold of him. I said, Mark, what is the deal? He said, well, I just got the word back from the mayor. We want to sponsor you to have this event because we think it's going to bring tourists in. And I thought, well, what a nice and novel idea that somebody is going to help me put on one of my weirdo conferences. And so we've had a great relationship ever since. And what they like about it is it brings in tourism. I can tell you that one of the major tourism events last year was the first Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And in my opinion, because I'm an entrepreneur and I have to watch my dollars coming in. And the dollars also have to be there for a community to like your event. In Clayton, Georgia, they're in love with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference because it brought in an average of $2 per person in the population of Clayton. An average of $2 per person into that town, into the revenue stream of Clayton, Georgia. And so, like it or not, I mean, you look at one of the biggest outdoor festivals in America is the Roswell UFO Conference. People go crazy over that. They don't think it's weird at all. And do you know much about the revenue, or Robert, do either one of you know much about the revenue that the space conference brought in?
No, it wasn't.
To the town.
Yeah, I don't have that information at that level.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but I would imagine. I mean, I talked to several people who were up from Asheville, from Marion, just because they heard about it and they thought it was weird and out there. I imagine, I don't know the specific numbers, but I imagine these local businesses in downtown must have had just got a lot of new customers. I imagine it would have had an incredible economic impact because there were people here who probably have either they've never heard of spruce pine or they passed through and didn't realize they were passing through, but all of a sudden they spent a full day here at something that they thought was cool. They spent their dollars here eating out and possibly shopping at the shop. So I would imagine that the economic impact was great.
Well, yeah. I liked it. I liked spruce pine enough after many, many years of being absent that you've now got a public affairs podcast called Visit Mount Mitchell. And, so there's a lot of benefit that comes from any kind of event, whether it's a paranormal event or whether it's a music event or whatever. And from what I heard now, the toe jam that was pushed out, is it still on or do we know?
4 o'clock today. Is there an announcement?
Yeah. As far as we know, it's
I don't know if you have any insight, but 4 o'clock today is supposed to be a big announcement.
Yeah. I did hear about that. I know that Jimmy Henshaw, same guy that started Space, is also heading up Toe Jam with a number of partners helping him. And the last I heard is that they were monitoring all of the current guidance related to COVID and that they would, again, I guess it's an announcement coming today, but as of this conversation, it's still on for October. And they've rebranded it as Toe Jam Rocktoberfest. And they have moved it from downtown proper to Riverside Park. So it should be if it is able to continue, it should be an exciting new venue. They have a lot of new artists. They're introducing some country artists this year. So a lot of people are excited about it, provided that it's able to continue.
Yeah, well, that's great. I can tell you that a friend of mine, Dr. Trey Donaway in Camden, South Carolina, he heads up the Rev War Field Day nonprofit group of reenactors, Revolutionary War reenactors. And with COVID, they can't have but 250 people max. Now, Rev War Field Days normally has about 5,000. So what they've done is they split the thing up into like various a couple hour events that you can buy tickets for, and they're capped at like 200. And so they have found a way to probably get close to 2,000 people to an event. It's going to be November the 7th. And so they've worked hard to figure out how to make that happen. It's great for the economy of Camden. It's great for the people. It's educational, talking about the Revolutionary War. So, you know, people will find a way to skin a cat, if they will, if they really are passionate about what they're doing. I mean, Toe Jam Festival, it's a music festival, for goodness sake. We don't have enough music. We just don't. So, I mean, I think that's great, and I'm glad they're moving forward with the Toe Jam Rocktoberfest. I think that's wonderful. And let's hope more and more things continue to grow and regenerate from the COVID incident that we've got, this pandemic. So we've got just 2 minutes left, or just under 2 minutes left. So what we always do is I let everybody do a plug for whatever they think they need to tell everybody about. So I'm going to start with our guest. Corey, we got 90 seconds. So take 30 seconds, and what do you want to remind people or tell people about?
Yeah, so I would encourage people that if you're not already a subscriber of the News Journal to definitely consider coming by and getting yourself set up with a subscription, or at least buy a copy off the rack 1 or 2 weeks and see how you feel about it. We're delivering – our goal is always to deliver the kind of community news that you can only get from our paper. You know, just last night I was down in Bakersville for about 2 hours after work taking pictures of Rec League sports, and that's just the kind of thing that you're not going to find that anywhere else. And that's the kind of content that we always have to deliver to you. So if that's something that sounds good to you, being informed about your community and getting unique content, I'd encourage you to stop by and chat with us today and explore your options for getting a subscription. And I know we're short on time, but I could go on about that, but I'll leave it right there for you guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining
us. Take my 30 seconds,
sure.
Corey. Tell them what's going on with the paper. Give them your views.
And I would just encourage you, especially during this time where, you know, so much is getting canceled and we have an election coming up, your local paper is a unique resource in that regard. And you can pick up the Asheville Citizen-Times, the USA Today's of the world, and and get the AP news and all that. But the kind of news that we bring you, I mean, you know, just this past week we had stories that you aren't going to find in any other paper. You might find them on Facebook in a different form. You might hear them on the street. But in terms of reading all the details and seeing all the photos, we're the one-stop shop for it. So, you know, and we're here for the community. We all live here. We work here. We worship here and all that. So we love this community as much as you do. And so we hope that you'll perhaps consider coming by and supporting us.
That sounds great. Well, Robert, thank you. Corey, thank you. This is Dr. John Stamey. We'll see you next week on Visit Mount Mitchell podcast. Have a good one.
Thanks, Corey.